We'll discuss one of the famous shilas on Svira comes up every year. Anyone who becomes bar mitzvah between Pesach and Shavuos, or I should say at least the second day, but basically between Pesach and Shavuos, you become bar mitzvah in the middle of Svira Saomer. So the shilah is one permitted to continue counting with a bracha? To count without a bracha, there's nothing to discuss. I mean, a worst case, it's nothing, but there's no harm. Like, there's no aveira counting without a bracha. In fact, you know, it could be a big mitzvah. So I'm just saying, so that anyone can count without a bracha, always. In fact, not only can you, you should, as we'll see. But the shaila is, the question is, can I make a bracha? And basically it comes down to, is one, I guess it didn't have to be making a bracha, but the question isn't someone who became bar mitzvah on the 6th of Iyar, which is today. So the assumption, of course, is that he's been counting, he or she, as a separate child or woman, so we'll just keep it to he for now, that assuming he's been counting up until now, like, obviously, someone who became bar mitzvah is no different than a gadol who just woke up in the middle of Svira. So I'm just giving you some guidelines to the kasha. The working assumption is that the person's been counting, with or without a bracha, doesn't make a difference. As long as he counted every day, you know, whether he made a bracha or not, as long it doesn't make a difference, as long because you could still make a start. If you're counting every day, you could wake up and make a bracha whenever you want. You haven't been making a bracha, I'd say, for the wrong reason. So, number one is the assumption of this question is that he's been counting every day beforehand. And the other assumption is that it's only one big mitzvah. In other words, if you assume every mitzvah, every day is a new mitzvah, then what's the shaila? There is no shaila. And in fact, you know, that's the whole machlokas we'll have to get into as well. What's pshat in the shitas habahag? In other words, and the truth be told, Rov Rishonim assume that it is a new mitzvah every day. We're choshesh for the opinion of the bahag, and we'll have to discuss what the opinion of the bahag is. But we don't need it for now. I'm just giving you the two assumptions I'm working with in the kasha. At a later class, we'll go into what is the Shitas HaBahag and why, you know, a better understanding. But the shaila is, we're assuming that Katan's been counting and it's one big mitzvah. Or else, like, if the Katan hasn't been counting or if it's every day is a new mitzvah, then what's the shaila? Why would anyone say he can't continue? Or if he's missed, again, if it's, you know, if it's one big mitzvah, once he's missed, it's over. And if you're assuming he hasn't been counting, so it comes down to basically whether that he has been counting and it's one big mitzvah. That's when the shaila, if I assume every day is a different mitzvah, so even if he wasn't counting, it wouldn't be a shaila. So that's, so I'm just giving you the framework to me what the question is, or else what's the shaila. So working with those assumptions, that's the shaila. So there's a famous Minchas Chinuch on this shaila. The Minchas Chinuch, basically the shaila comes down to is, let's say someone does a mitzvah in the state of exemption, i.e. he's a katan, so he's not obligated, at least minatori he's not. And later on, you become obligated in that mitzvah. So do I say the mitzvah I did when I was exempt, could that count later on when I become obligated? How do we view something when I'm doing the mitzvah, when I'm doing the mitzvah now, I'm exempt, but it could it later on I'm going to become obligated in this mitzvah? Could the act I did before, could that be mitzvah? So let's go check. Well, we have to go through Shas, and we always have to find precedent in the Talmud in either direction. So the Minchas Chinuch raises the question. He points out an apparent contradiction in the Talmud. On one hand, he says, we have a Gemara in Yevamos. It's a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the following shaila. A ger shenis gayer, someone's converting to Judaism, and he already had a boy and a girl. As a Gentile, he had a boy and a girl. Now he's converting to Judaism. So now the shaila is, does he have to have another boy and a girl? Like, because we know there's a mitzvah pru revu. So do I say the boy and girl he had is a go, and then he doesn't have any more kids? Of course, out's the mitzvah of Sheves. He should have more kids, assuming he can, they're capable, everything's okay, etc. But, or do I say the kids he had as a gadol, as a guy, counts? So it's actually a machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. We paskin like Rav Yochanan, that he does not have to have more kids. The boy and girl he had while he was a guy, and now he converted, is a girl. Let me just point out, there's a further machlokes in the Rishonim. When we say he converted, does it mean the whole family converted, meaning his kids? In other words, do his kids have to convert also? Or it's enough that that's a further debate in the postgame. So we're not going to go into the nuance of that, Shiloh, but we'll leave it nice and vague. He converted to Judaism, so Rav Yochanan paskins that it's a go. So we see, so it seems to be a proof from this Gemara that even though a guy is clearly exempt, even though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin originally a guy was chayiv in Pru Revu, but after Man Torah, he became exempt because the mitzvah changed. Because on one hand, originally the mitzvah was to populate the world. Perhaps the mitzvah now is to populate the Jewish world. But either way, that could be a debate there. So going on, so if that's the case, so it would seem that a katan who counted during Sfiras HaOmer, his katan, it should count, and therefore he should be able to count with the bracha, based on that Gemara. So from that Gemara, it seems that if you're in a state of exemption, it does count for later on. On the other hand, we have another Gemara, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I think Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara talks about, let's call it Pesach time we just had, and we know we have a mitzvah, Erev Tochu Matzos. We have a mitzvah to eat matzo leil Pesach. So let's say someone is a shota, a legally considered a fool, not like what we call a fool, you know, because the legal status of a fool, he's not, you know, he doesn't have the cognitive ability to know, we know what's going on. So we know he's putter. So that's clear. A shota's putter min hamitzvah. So shaila is, in this case, is like this. Whatever the condition is called, but let's call him, he's, for our purposes, we'll just say, between the hours of 8 and 9 p.m., he's a shota. And between 10 and 11, he was only temporarily insane. But 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, he became sane. So let's say he ate the matzah between 8 and 9 when he was legally insane. And then now, he became sane now. Does he have to eat another kezayis matzah? Or do I say the matzah he ate at 8 o'clock is a go? So the Gemara and the Rambam paskins, he has to eat another piece of matzah. The matzah he ate as a shota is it. So what do we see from this Gemara? If you do a mitzvah during the state of exemption, it does not count for later on, and therefore you have to eat another matzah. So based on this Gemara, it would seem that the Sfira, the Katan did, is a no-go, and therefore he can't count with the bracha because he's waking up in the middle of the Sfira. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? Obviously, how we reconcile might shed light on Sfira. So how do we reconcile? So the Minchas Chinuch reconciles. We'll give his reconciliation. So the Minchas Chinuch says as follows. Because there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvah of Pru Revu and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. In other words, he explains as follows. He says that, and that's what he goes at length in Mitzvah Aleph in the Minchas Chinuch. he discusses the issue of what is the nature of the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. So not everyone agrees with him. Tosas and Baba Basra seems to not hold this way. But the Midrash Chinuch Shita is, and others, that Pru Ravu is a result-oriented mitzvah. It's not the Maisa B, it's not the... there is a mitzvah living with your life. There's a mitzvah of Ona, other things, but the mitzvah of Pru Ravu doesn't happen until 9 months later, hopefully, and therefore you get the mitzvah then. So he says, in other words, we have a principle, let's say mitzvah haba b'aveira, because the shaila is the Ramah Paskins, that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Ravu with a mamzer. And he doesn't mean a mamzer beheter. He means someone committed adultery. So you clearly, it's usher to commit adultery and you have to do tshuva. But 9 months later, when he has the baby, maybe he's at davening. In other words, what's mitzvah b'aveira? It's a technical issue. At the moment I'm performing the mitzvah, I'm involved in the aveira. Here the aveira happened 9 months earlier, the adultery. And the mitzvah is not happening until 9 months later. So there is no mitzvah b'aveira. You only say mitzvah b'aveira if it's a ma'isa mitzvah. But if the mitzvah result oriented, and hence there's no problem, you can fulfill Pru Ravu. And that's how he explains the Gemara in Yevamos, that let's say you have a boy and a girl, but then one of them dies before the parent dies. So the lacha is you don't fulfill Pru Ravu. You know, it's a further discussion if your child has another child, you know, we could discuss. But this the stray reading in the Gemara is, you need kids that outlive you to fulfill Pru Ravu.
Oh.
No, it's, you know, no fault of your own. I'm just being descriptive on what the nature of the mitzvah is. So therefore, again, we see that it's the result-oriented. So therefore, the Minchas Chinuch says, when do we say... He says he wants to say, like, you know, that's when we apply mitzvah b'aveira. So he says like this, when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, so what's the mitzvah of matzah? It's the achilas matzah. When I'm chewing the matzah, swallowing it, I might be sick from the matzah 3 hours later, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is when you're chewing and swallowing. So if I'm chewing and swallowing, the mitzvah is over. So when the mitzvah was over while I was insane, comes around 9 o'clock, I have nothing to show for my mitzvah, I got to eat another matzah. But by Pru Ravu, it's true I did the mitzvah bia when they were a guy, but right now I'm converting, my kids are here. So it's a result-oriented mitzvah, and therefore that's the difference. There's no contradiction. So the question is, where does Sfiras HaOmer fit under? Does Sfiras HaOmer fit, is it closer to eating matzah, or is it closer to Pru Ravu? So obviously it depends on what you think the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is. If Sfiras HaOmer, the pashtus we would say is, it's a ma'isa mitzvah, you're counting Sfira every day.
Yes.
So then it'd be more similar to the matzah. And therefore, if I was exempt, so then perhaps I can use it to mitzvah later on. If I want to tie to maybe Sfiras HaOmer, is no. It's accounting toward Shavuos. I want to say it's result oriented. Then maybe I could argue the point. But Pashas, it seems to be a Maisa mitzvah, and therefore according to the Minchas Chinuch, it would come out that a katan shehigdil cannot continue counting with the bracha because it's a Maisa mitzvah, and then so he has nothing to show for it now when he becomes bar mitzvah. It's similar to the case of matzah. The Turi Evan disagrees. He says that's not the distinction. The Turi Evan says, no, really? An act done in the state of exemption does count. And it doesn't make a difference if it's achilas matzah or Pru Ravu. They're generally good. So how come the matzah is no good? Because here it's more than just... Here we're talking about the difference. There's a concept of mitzvah strichas kavana. Mitzvahs require intent. Mitzvahs ein strichas kavana, and then there's something much worse. Something is misasek. You don't even know what's going on. In fact, we have halacha in terms of onshin. That really, generally speaking, if you do an aveira b'shogeg and you chayev kares, b'mezid, you got to bring a karban katos. But if you do something, if you violate an aveira and you're misasek, so therefore, you don't have to bring a karban. In fact, that's a whole discussion. If the famous Shaila Rav Yisrael Salanter wrote to Rabbi Akiva Eger about checking bugs, checking for bugs in lettuce. That's a whole shiur in its own right. But this, he says when someone eats lettuce, no one's eating the bugs. They're eating the lettuce. I'm not going to get into the details if you know it's infested or not. But without all the details of getting into when you have to check when you know. But let's assume it's a scenario where. Either way, you had no idea whether you thought it was clean and you thought you didn't have to check. That doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is, I'm eating the lettuce. I have no idea I'm eating bugs. And maybe I am eating bugs, maybe I'm not. How do I know? Unless maybe I found one inside me. I don't know. What I'm saying is, so he says, why should anyone be chayev? Because it's misasek. So forget about all the checking, not checking. If I eat a piece of lettuce and lo and behold, there's a bug in there, I mean, okay, I'm not happy there's a bug in there, but misasek, I'm putter, because that's the halacha. So someone claims...
Sorry, because I didn't intend to eat a bug, that's the point.
No, it's more than that. Not that I didn't intend, I had no idea. I can't say, mitzvah ain't tricha, I know there's a bug, but I have intention not to eat it. That's something else. That's not... I'm saying I don't even, it's a misasek, it's much more than eno kavan. I don't even know I'm doing it. As opposed to, let's say, I'm going down to pick up an apple, I think it's loose on the ground, and then I end up pulling the apple off the branch. That's a misasek, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought I was picking up something tallish, and it would end up being mechubber. That's misasek, not shogeg. Shogeg is it's a mistake. I forgot it was Shabbos, but I knew what I was doing. Depending, you know, there's differences between shogeg and misasek. It's not just not kav. It's a lot more than not having kavana. You don't even know you're doing it. So I can't say I don't have kavana. My kavana is not to machal Shabbos. I just want to see. That's not what we're talking about here. I didn't even realize I turned the light out without even knowing. Let's say I was bumping against the wall and all of a sudden the light went on. That's a misasek. I didn't know what I was doing even. So we have some exceptions to the rule that sometimes misasek is chayev. There are two exceptions to the rule. Is chalavim and arayas. In other words, two things if you have illicit relations. Let's say I think it's my wife and it's someone else. Whatever the case may be, or let's say I think it's kosher and I'm eating treif. So the Gemara says shekei nene. If you're getting benefit from it, so then even if it's misasek, the benefit makes it usur. So that's the, but over here, it's bugs. There is no benefit. In fact, bugs are mias. I'd be disgusted if I knew I was eating bugs. You think dough lettuce wants you eating bugs? They don't want bugs in their lettuce either. So either way, that was his question to Rabbi Akiva Eger. He said, yeah, I should be a misasek, not him. I don't know if he was asking for himself. But when people eat lettuce, they should be misasek on the bugs. So he writes, you're right. It is misasek. He agrees with him in principle. However, there's a further debate. When we say misasek is putter, does it mean putter aval usar or mutter lagamre? In other words, the Rabbi Akiva Eger responds, not directly to this question, but he writes, in whatever reason, he didn't answer the question directly, but he wrote this principle, that it's, even though when misasek is putter, it's putter min hakarban. It's true, you don't have to bring a karban, but you still can't do it, lechatchila. It's still wrong to do. But however, according to the Netzivos, someone argues and says, no, misasek is mutuwag. So that's a major machlokas achronim, whether you misasek on something. Everyone agrees you put them in a karban. That's a gemara. The question is, how far do I go in the misasek? Is it heter gamar? Or it's still a violation of, it's a violation of misasek, except I don't have to bring a karban on that. So that, the many major shilos, actually, you know, let's say I'm walking outside on Shabbos, I walk by a house, the light goes on. I had no idea the light was going to go on. Is that a misasek? Am I chayef for it? Yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's not a misasek. If I lean against the wall and the light switch goes on, can I get benefit from the light by reading from it or not? Is that
right? Right. That's a separate shiloh about what type of hanah could we get benefit. In other words, we're talking about that you're not chayef for turning a light on.
Yes.
You know, that's a fair question. We'll have to discuss when can you get hanah from something, when you can't. You know, in terms of, but they're not discussing that point. They're just saying, but you know, it would follow. Perhaps it would follow, but just from this angle only, there's a lot more to discuss. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's still usher. So then maybe you're benefiting from. But if you hold its head to gummer, so then there'd be more reason to say you could benefit from it. Because then what do you bet? Because the reason why you can't benefit is because you did something wrong. Like, why? What's wrong? If the, you know, I'm just saying, if all of a sudden at night the sun comes out, like I can't, it's out of my control. I don't control if the sun, let's say the city turned on all the lights in the middle of Shabbos. So what am I going to do? You know, so misasik is much more than not having kavanah. You have no idea it's even going to happen. So getting back here, so he says, really? If you do something in a state of exemption, it can count for later on. So what about the case of matzah? That's because you don't even know what's going on. You're a misasik. If you're a misasik, I can't say it's mitzar. If you didn't know you were eating you went to get the piece of bread and you didn't even know you were eating matzah, or whatever the case may be, then that far we don't go. That's how the Turi Evan learns. So according to the Turi Evan, in other words, he says the reason why is no difference between maisa mitzvah and result, according to the Turi Evan, even if it's a maisa mitzvah, but the guy knows what he's doing when he's living with his wife. I'm assuming that, so therefore it's not a misasek. He knows I'm trying to have kids now, or I don't know if I'm trying to. Maybe it's a mistake, but I know by doing this I could have kids, whatever you're thinking or not. But the point being is you know what you're doing, so then it could be mitzvah. But the case of the matzah, so by the matzah, if I didn't just have kavanah, I know what I was doing, so then maybe it could be, but or not. We could. But the case of if you're mitzvah, so that takes you. So according to the Turi Evan, then, the katan knows what he's doing. So therefore, according to the Minchas Chinuch's understanding how you reconcile, you can no longer make a bracha. According to the Turi Evans' understanding, you can. So, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? It's a case that comes up all the time. People are bar mitzvah all the time now. So, what would I tell a bar mitzvah boy? So, if they ask me, I tell them, I'd ask them, are you Ashkenaz or Svard? That would be my first question. And then I'd say, if you're Svardi, Avadji Yosef writes, Chacham Avadja, Safik Brachos Lahakel. In general, Svardim are more, I don't know, lenient or strict, however you want to look it, but they tell you not to make brachas. Like we know by Mitzvah Aseisha Zman Grama, the Mechaba Paskins, a woman does not volunteer a bracha on Sukkah, on Lulav, and the Ashkenaz we Paskin, yes, because the Mechaba goes with the Rambam that if you're wrong, it's an Issa Daraisa. He's saying Shem Shamayim Levatola. We assume it's not Levatola. Shahakon Yebidvaro is still true. It's just you can't make an unnecessary bracha, but it's only a draw button. So whatever the Svara is, the Mechaber in general is more concerned the bracha Levatola, and the Svarim generally follow the Rambam. And therefore, Avadji Yosef says, Suffolk bracha Sohaka. What's the problem? Just continue counting. Just don't make a bracha. And Rav Svi Pesach Frank and I'd say the consensus view of the other poskim is that we paskin that a katan can continue counting with the bracha. Besides the whole issue I just gave, but you could also it's also because it's it could be like the shaila of let's say someone counts. In a case of Suffolk, Let's say hypothetically Ben Hashemashos. Let's assume it's Suffolk Yom. Again, so if someone counts Ben Hashemashos and that's it, they don't count again, and it's the next night. So according to the Rambam, it could be a problem because the Rambam holds that it's Daraisa and you need Laila. But let's assume, you know, so, and it's a Suffolk and a Daraisa. But Halacha L'maisa, we paskin, you can continue counting with the Bracha. Why? Because it's a Svek Sveka. One Suffolk is, maybe you counted, maybe you didn't. Maybe it is Laila. It's a Suffolk Yom. And even if it wasn't Laila, maybe every day is a new mitzvah. So I can make the same Svek Sveka on a Bar Mitzvah boy. Maybe it's counted, maybe it didn't. And even if it didn't, maybe every day is a new mitzvah, therefore you could count. So whatever the svara you want to give, I would tell a Bar Mitzvah boy to continue counting with a bracha. Questions? Comments?